Good morning. You're listening to KRBD's special programming for children, created in cooperation with the Ketchikan Education Association and featuring local teachers. Thanks to everyone who recorded themselves and sent in those recordings.
Hello, it's Mrs. Brooks again. I'm going to record a story called The Bark Park, written by Elizabeth Redhead Kristen. And the illustrator, the person who did the drawings, is Gary Morgan. So this is a book that was dedicated to Sherry, and it says, "To my wonderful wife, Elizabeth and Gary can dedicate their books." When you write a book, you can put someone's name or maybe a group of people. You might say, "To my family," if you write your own book. And it just means you're thinking about them when you're writing it. So this is called The Bark Park. And there's an illustration of a little kid in her bedroom, and she says, "I'm taking my pets to the bark park today to have a fabulous, fun-filled day. It's a great place to spend some time, and the price to play is only a dime." So this book has some rhymes at the end of each line, so listen and see if you can hear those. "Sitting outside on a wooden seat is the park's gatekeeper, a guy named Pete. And if your pets don't woof or howl, Pete will exclaim, 'Go home,' with a growl. And there's a sign on the fence that says, 'Dogs only.' After our bath, down the path, we hurried." She goes to the bark park, but she has a dog and a pig and a goat and a bat. She has a fish and a bull that's her friend, and also a frog. So I'm wondering if they're going to let them in. "I ran fast, but my animals scurried. I hope that we can stay and play, and Pete won't send us all away. First to the gate was my furry pet bear." Oh, I guess that was a bear, not a dog. "He was hungrily munching a juicy pear. The gatekeeper said, 'You do not bark, so you aren't allowed into my park.' We wanted to go in and play, but Grumpy Pete wouldn't let us stay. My favorite fish was the next to try, but he wasn't four-legged or furry or dry. Sloshing and splashing, we darted past fast. That gatekeeper Pete would not let my bass pass. We wanted to go in and play, but Grumpy Pete wouldn't let us stay. Trotting up next was my pretty white goat. She wore her new rain boots and red raincoat. Though we hid beneath my big blue umbrella, we wouldn't get past that smart gatekeeper fella. He wanted to go in and play, but Grumpy Pete wouldn't let us stay. My kindly bat Pat screeched as she flew. The gatekeeper bellowed, 'Go away, scat, shoo!' My big pink oinked and squealed a song. 'Move along,' ordered Pete. 'You sound all wrong.' My frog Kate hopped up to the gate. She was dressed as a dog and I as her date. But gatekeeper Pete, without missing a beat, yelled, 'She's not a dog. She has green, slimy feet.' We wanted to go in and play, but Grumpy Pete wouldn't let us stay. I thought and thought about what to do. Then I remembered my friend Sue at the zoo. She has a van that says 1 fan, and all her pets are getting in with her. Sue was a fan of my animal clan. She picked us up in her shiny new van. The zoo was a place where we all could play, and we had a fabulous, fun-filled day." And the ending illustration shows Sue and all the pets and their human friend, and the bat with the shirt named Pat on it is flying in under a big gate that says Zoo. So because they were not dogs, they couldn't go to the bark park. But they found a place to be friends all together, just like we're being friends online now. It's not quite the same as sitting in class. So I'm looking at the cover, and it shows the kid with all her friends, and I see now that what I thought was a dog is a big brown bear. It kind of looks like a dog with the same sort of ears. So I like looking at the illustrations when I read books like this, and I'm sorry that you can't see them, but you can go to all kinds of free sites online and read books online with your friends or your family. And you can even write a book of your own. Maybe you want to write a book about your own pet and where you might go to play.
Hello again, listeners. I'm Jeff Glover, and we're going to continue reading The World According to Humphrey. Humphrey is the lovable class hamster in room 26, and he wants to help his friend, the custodian, Mr. Aldo Amato. He found an advertisement in the newspaper that might help Aldo, who works nights, meet a special someone. He's trying to get Aldo to notice the ad. Let's pick up the story again. Chapter 6, Moonlight Madness. I waited until the school was completely quiet. No students, no teachers, no Mr. Morales. Then I got busy because I had a lot of work to do. Big work for a small hamster. First, I took the Moonlighters Club clipping out of my notebook. Holding it in my mouth, I opened the lock that doesn't lock and scurried across the table. Getting down off that table was still a problem. I grabbed hold of the leg and slid down, as I've done before. It makes me feel a little queasy in my tummy, but it would be worthwhile if I could get Aldo a girlfriend. I hurried over to the big machine, which was very, very high off the ground. It seemed impossible for me to get up there, but I had it all planned out in my mind. Crawl up the wastebasket. Oh, I didn't know it would sway like that. Leap over to the seat of Mrs. Brisbane's chair. Whoa, slippery. Crawl up the rungs to the chalkboard tray behind it. Along the chalkboard tray, the bookcase. Then the hardest part, the dive from the bookcase to the overhead projector cart. If you ever try it yourself, don't look down. I was practically home free, but I still had to get up to the lit part. Still holding the newspaper clipping in my mouth, I grabbed onto a big screw sticking out of the side and pulled myself up. Then I reached up as high as I could and just barely managed to touch the top. Good thing I've got big muscles, because I was able to P-U-L-L myself up. I was there. It was like climbing Mount McKinley, the tallest mountain peak in the United States. Just ask Mrs. Brisbane. I quickly pushed the switch. I wished I had some sunglasses, because I was suddenly surrounded by blinding light. It was like being inside a light bulb. I took the newspaper clipping out of my mouth and carefully laid it on the flat glass. Then I looked up at the wall and, no, no, no. Up on the screen was a picture of a car, and behind it there was jumbled up backward writing. I realized I must have laid the clipping on the glass upside down. I quickly turned it over, and there it was. All the information about the Moonlighters Club right there on the wall, with the outline of the car behind it. Aldo would be coming soon, so I hurried back to the cage. It was faster getting back, because it was mostly downhill until the very end, when I had to swing my way up the cord to the blinds and back to the table. I was panting pretty hard by the time I closed the cage door behind me. I didn't even have time to catch my breath before Aldo swung the door open. "Whoa! Who left that on?" he exclaimed as he entered. "That thing could overheat!" He hurried over to the overhead projector.
"Look at the wall! Look up at the wall!"
I squeaked, but the words only sounded like hamster peeps. Aldo didn't waste a second. He flicked the machine off. All that work for nothing. But then, a funny thing happened. Aldo turned the machine back on and looked at the wall.
"What is this?" he muttered. "Why did Mrs. Brisbane have this up here? Hey, nice car."
He squinted up at the screen.
"Look, Humphrey. The Moonlighters Club, for people who work at night, like me."
And me, I thought. I was still quite exhausted from all that effort. Aldo stared at the big ad on the wall for a while. Then he turned off the projector and went to work and never mentioned it again. Yes, I was annoyed. I had failed but at least I had tried, which was more than I can say for one of my classmates. Yes, Saya Nasari. With my own furry ears, I had heard her promise Mrs. Brisbane that she would raise her hand in class. But so far, she'd been as silent as a statue. Her week was almost up. Even though I'd scolded her the day she fed me, she paid no more attention to me than she had to her teacher. You should really listen to your teacher, even Mrs. Brisbane. And you should always listen to your hamster. I was worried about Aldo and about Saya, but I have to admit, my journey had been so tiring that, nocturnal or not, I slept soundly the rest of the night. The next day began in a very surprising way. I have something to share with you all, Mrs. Brisbane announced. She held up a postcard with a picture of colorful parrots perched in lush green trees. A postcard from Miss McNamara. Mrs. Brisbane would never call her Miss Mac. It said, "Greetings to my favorite class in the world, Room 26. I'm now working in a school here in Brazil. This country is beautiful and friendly. I really enjoyed talking with the parrots and the rainforest. I miss you all, especially my pal Humphrey. Lots of love, Miss Mac." Mrs. Brisbane had to say Miss Mac, since that's the way the card was signed. Happy, happy, happy! Not only did Miss Mac remember me, she missed me most of all. Oh, and I missed her most of all, too, especially every time I looked at Mrs. Brisbane and she glared back at me. Mrs. Brisbane showed us Brazil on the map. And it is far away. I'd like to be that far away from Mrs. Brisbane. My head was so filled with memories of Miss Mac that I only got 75% on my vocabulary test. After we graded the tests in class, Mrs. Brisbane said, "If you got 100% on the test, please raise your hand." That woke me up. What a clever way to get Saya to raise her hand, because she always got 100%. AJ raised his hand. Art raised his hand. Saya just stared down at her desktop. I was starting to get really mad at her. When it was time for map work, Mrs. Brisbane clicked on the overhead projector, and there it was, the Moonlighters Club ad right on the wall. Mrs. Brisbane wrinkled her nose, picked up the paper, and looked at both sides. Then she held it up to the light, and I think maybe she noticed those little tiny holes my teeth had made when I carried it over there. Mrs. Brisbane looked over at my cage and wrinkled her nose again. Then she crumpled the paper and threw it into the wastebasket. She is smart, but she is also mean. She's not the only one. While she went on with her map work, Wait for the Bell Garth Tugwell started making some very rude noises. Mrs. Brisbane didn't even turn around. When someone started giggling, she just said, "Stop giggling, Gail." So Garth's rude noises got louder and even ruder, and a lot of other kids giggled along with Gail. Suddenly, the teacher spun around to face them. "Very well. The whole class will stay in during recess for extra vocabulary words," she announced. Everybody groaned. "It's Garth's fault," said Heidi. "Raise your hand," Mrs. Brisbane snapped back. "You will all stay in during recess, unless the person making those noises wants to step forward and admit it." Nobody said a word, but everybody glared at Garth, including me. "Okay, I did it," he said. "Raise your hand," Heidi whispered loudly. "Very well, Garth. You, Heidi, and Gail will stay in during recess," the teacher said firmly. Heidi and Gail protested until the bell rang, but all three of them stayed in during recess. Instead of making them do extra vocabulary words, though, Mrs. Brisbane let them rest their heads on their desks. After she lectured them about their behavior, of course. All this commotion had made me a little hungry, and for some reason, I hadn't been fed yet, so I decided to squeak up for myself. Mrs. Brisbane turned and pointed at me angrily. "I don't need any trouble out of you, either," she said. Heidi raised her hand. "I don't think he's been fed today," she said. Mrs. Brisbane told Garth to feed me. Then she dismissed the girls and told them to go outside and play for the rest of recess. So she wasn't completely mean to them, anyway. She even trusted Garth to be alone in the room while she took some papers down to the office. I'd always liked to wait for the bell, Garth. So I was surprised when he started grumbling at me as he filled the water bottle and put some fresh mealworms in my cage. One of these days you'll get in trouble, too, he said. I'll see to that. Huh? I squeaked. Everybody hates me. Everybody loves you. You're just a rat in disguise. The words hurt me a lot. Why would Garth say that? I mean, sure, almost everybody does love me, but I don't make rude noises and get other people into trouble. I was still pondering Garth's behavior when my classmates returned to room 26. Mrs. Brisbane must have gotten rested up over the recess because she greeted them with a smile. I have a surprise for you, she told the kids. Surprises always get the class's attention. They think surprises are always good. However, I know that surprises can sometimes be bad, like the day Miss Mack left me forever. We're going to pick who gets to take Humphrey home for the weekend, she explained. Now, you all know whether or not your parents gave permission for you to bring him home. So, if you'd like Humphrey this weekend, raise your hand now. Hey, hey, hey! You should have seen all the hands that went up. I could hardly believe my eyes. Miranda and Heidi and AJ and every single hand in the class, except Garth's. Even Saya Nazaree raised her hand. Mrs. Brisbane noticed. Saya, do you think it will be all right with your parents? She asked. Saya nodded her head. I can't hear you, said Mrs. Brisbane. Yes, ma'am, said Saya. It was strange to hear her voice in the classroom. Mrs. Brisbane gave her a note to bring back from her family on Friday. I napped the rest of the afternoon, but whenever I woke up and glanced over at Saya's desk, I saw her doing something I'd never seen before, smiling. Tip 6. You can leave your hamster alone for a day or two. Otherwise, find a suitable caretaker, or if possible, take your hamster with you. In its own cage, a hamster can be very portable. Guide to the Care and Feeding of Hamsters, Dr. Harvey H. Hammer. Chapter 7. Saya Speaks Up. On Friday afternoon, Saya's father, Mr. Nazaree, picked us up after school. He had a friendly smile and gentle eyes, but he was as quiet as his daughter. Saya lived in a tall building, so Mr. Nazaree carried my cage up 1, 2, 3 flights of stairs to their clean and quiet apartment. Mrs. Nazaree opened the door for us. She spoke to her husband and daughter, but I couldn't exactly understand what they were saying. Hummy, hummy, a little voice called out. Saya's little brother Derek toddled toward the door to greet me. Say Humphrey, Saya gently corrected him. Hummy, he said. The Nazarees put my cage in the living room, right in the middle of a big table. Then they pulled up chairs so they could all sit and stare into my cage. It seemed as if they were waiting for something to happen, so I decided to give them a show. First, I spun on my wheel for a while, then I climbed up the side of the cage and dived down into a pile of soft paper. They were obviously impressed with my performance as they talked quietly. The funny thing is, I couldn't understand a word they were saying. No wonder Saya got 100% on all her vocabulary tests. She and her family knew a lot more words than I did. They finally went to the kitchen to eat dinner. Later, while the rest of the family watched television, Saya's mother quietly sat by my cage, watching me. She seemed nice, nice, nice. Eventually, it was bedtime for the Nazarees, but after the lights were out, Saya slipped out of her room and came back to my cage and whispered to me. I could understand her again. Now you know my secret, Humphrey, she whispered. My family doesn't speak English. Well, my dad does a little, but he's shy about it. Mom hasn't learned any English at all, and Derek's too little. I understand, I squeaked. That's why I don't like to talk in class, she explained. I don't talk like the other kids. I'm afraid they'll laugh at my accent. That happened to me when I was little. But you don't sound different, I frantically squeaked. I understand you just fine. Unfortunately, she didn't understand me. All she heard was squeak, squeak, squeak. I guess maybe I have an accent, too. But I have an idea that maybe you could help me teach Mom English, Saya continued. Glad to help if I can, I squeaked to her. You're a real friend, Saya replied. See, she understood me after all. The next day I dozed until late afternoon, when Saya led her mother back to my cage. Humphrey only understands English, Mama, Saya said. Speak English. Say Humphrey. Saya's mom looked a little frightened, but she tried.
Humphrey,
she said.
Hummy,
Derek cried as he raced into the room and climbed onto his mother's lap. Say hello, Humphrey, Saya gently instructed her mother.
Hello, Humphrey,
Mrs. Nasri said. I squeaked hello right back, and she broke into a huge smile.
Hello,
she said.
Good job, I said.
Well, things went swimmingly from then on. In a matter of hours, Saya's mom was saying,
How do you do? Nice to meet you. Would you like some water?
I did, thank you. Even when Saya and Derek left to go to the store with their father, Mrs. Nasri kept on talking. I let her know I understood what she was saying by wiggling my whiskers and hanging by one paw from the top of my cage.
Good boy, Humphrey, she said.
Saya and her father were amazed at Mrs. Nasri's progress when they returned. The family spent the rest of the evening practicing English. First, Saya pretended to be a guest at the door. She went into the hall and knocked. Her mother opened the door.
Hello, Saya, she said. Won't you come in?
Then Derek went out and knocked. Mrs. Nasri opened the door and said,
Hello, Derek. Won't you come in?
He rushed in and toddled right over to the table, shouting,
Humphrey! Humphrey!
Next, Saya convinced her dad to practice English with her mom.
What time it is?
Asked Mrs. Nasri.
What time is it? Saya corrected her.
Mrs. Nasri got it right the second time. Then Dad looked at his watch.
7:15, he answered. Would you like some tea?
Mrs. Nasri asked.
Yes, please. I would like some tea, Mr. Nasri answered.
Guess what? They had a tea party right on my table. As a reward for all their hard work, I spun my wheel as fast as my legs would go, and they all cheered. Later, after the lights were out, Saya slipped out of her room to talk to me again.
Thank you, Humphrey, she whispered. My mom says she's ready to go to English class now, but I wish you were the teacher.
So do I,
I squeaked, and I meant it. There are some more English lessons on Sunday, and Saya showed Derek how to clean out my cage. Suddenly, the boy began to giggle.
Humphrey poop,
he yelled. His English was improving, too. On Sunday night, Saya gathered her family together again.
I want to teach you the American song, she said.
Then she opened her mouth and began to sing.
Oh, say, can you see?
I stood up, just like we do in the classroom when the Star-Spangled Banner is being sung. But I'd never heard it sung like that before.
Saya had the most beautiful voice in the world. It was like a gentle breeze. No, like rippling waters. No, it was beautiful.
If only our classmates in room 26 could hear her, which gave me the start of another idea. But I didn't have time to think much at all, because soon the whole family was singing the Star-Spangled Banner, and I squeaked right along with them, even on those high notes. When we got back to school on Monday morning, though, I was a little disappointed. Mrs. Brisbane asked Saya how things went over the weekend.
Fine,
said Saya, and nothing more. Like Miss Mack said, you can learn a lot about yourself by getting to know another species. But boy, sometimes it's a lot of work. That Monday, I sat in my cage worrying about Saya for quite a while before I dozed off. When I woke up, I noticed that room 26 had changed. The bulletin board was covered with brightly colored leaves. The tops of the chalkboards were lined with big paper witches, ghosts, and skeletons. Hanging from the light fixtures were black crepe paper bats. Then I looked to my right and gasped. A horrible, huge orange face with an evil grin was staring directly at me. I jumped back, my heart pounding.
Hey, Humphrey, don't you like old Pumpkinhead?
AJ whispered to me from a seat nearby.
Look, Humphrey's scared of a little old jack-o'-lantern, Garth said. Scaredy cat, scaredy hamster.
I stood up straight and looked as unscared as I possibly could. Quiet, Garth and AJ, said Mrs. Brisbane. Then she quickly returned to a math problem she was writing on the board. Suddenly, I noticed a little movement in the center of the room, a murmur, a change. I looked over and,
yes, 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 Saya had her hand up.
Everyone noticed it, except Mrs. Brisbane, who had her back to the rest of us. "Mrs. Brisbane!" Heidi called out. Without turning, the teacher said, "Raise your hand, Heidi." Now Heidi had her hand raised as well as Saya. "Well, what is it?" Mrs. Brisbane turned to face the class and was obviously surprised at what she saw. "Yes, Saya," she said. In a loud, clear voice, Saya said, "May I move the pumpkin away from Humphrey's cage?" Mrs. Brisbane looked from Saya to the cage and back. "Yeah, I guess it is a little close. Thank you, Saya." Saya rose and hurried to my table to push the ugly old jack-o'-lantern away. She didn't say a word, but she winked at me, and I knew what she meant. "Heidi, did you want to say something?" Mrs. Brisbane asked. "Not anymore," she said. Everything went back to normal until the bell rang for recess. As my classmates all scattered and ran toward the door, Garth paused by my cage. "Scaredy cat," he muttered. Then he moved the pumpkin right up against my cage again. I puffed up my cheeks as big as I could get them. It was going to be a very long day. Tip 7. When hamsters feel intimidated, they often puff up their cheeks. Guide to the Care and Feeding of Hamsters, Dr. Harvey H. Hammer. I'm Jeff Glover, and you've been listening to The World According to Humphrey by Betty G. Burney. Thanks for joining us.
Dear students and families, it is hard for the educators at your schools to be away from you. We had lessons, activities, and experiments planned to share with you. We had books and maps and equations to introduce to you. We had hugs and high fives and unique morning greetings that we were looking forward to sharing when we returned from spring break. Things will be different for a while, and to be safe, we will need to greet and share and learn together online through Zoom and email and in phone calls to check in with you, our favorite people. Until we can gather in our classrooms again, remember that we are thinking of you and planning some exciting ways for us to learn together during this time of social distancing. So check your email and remind your folks to check their emails. Please be safe and kind. Wash your hands and take care of your families. We love you. Ketchikan Education Association.
Find a dot, find a spot to sit on. Sit spot, find a dot in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, Ketchikan. This is Mrs. DeAngelis. I teach music at Fawn Mountain Elementary and Point Higgins Elementary. And I miss seeing all your smiling faces and can't wait to see you again and play all of our music games, sing, and make music. Take care. Peace and love to you and yours.
This is a shout out to all my Houtling friends from Mrs. Hook. I wanted you to know how much I miss you and hope I get to see you soon. While you have all this time at home, I think you should find some paper and start writing about what it's like to live through a pandemic. You are a part of history now, and you'll want to tell your kids or grandkids someday what it was like to live through the 2020 pandemic. I want to know what you do to fill your days and what's the best and worst part of all this time at home. I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Ketchikan, this is Kevin Johnson, PE teacher at Houtling Elementary School. Hi, all you Dolphins and all of our students throughout the district and teachers. I just want to take just a quick moment just to say hi and send some kudos to my colleagues for the incredible job they're doing by, you know, trying to do the best they can in a difficult situation and rearranging their classrooms and trying to meet students' needs. And students and parents, thank you for being responsive. And we'll get through this. Just remember to practice social distancing, and let's get this done. Peace out. See ya.
Ravella students, check your K-21 school's email account and the website at rhs.kgbsd.org for more information on school. We miss you, the staff at Ravella.
Up next are recordings of Shombar and Ketchikan Charter School middle school students performing part one of their virtual concert project. To create this, all the students involved submitted individual recordings playing or singing their part, and then teachers Julie Cron and Jamie Carlson put the recordings together to create the full band effect. First up will be band students performing Arabian Dances by Roland Barrett, and then choir students singing Fun Train by Phyllis Wolfe White.
Maybe he's right. Maybe there is something the matter with me. I just don't see how a world that makes such wonderful things could be bad. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's it's and what's it's galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? Betcha on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand. I'm ready to know what the people know. Ask them my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore that shore up above?
Listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea. Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea. Down here, all the fish is happy as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy. It's hard 'cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky. They in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry,
guess who's gone beyond the pay?
What go under the sea? Under the sea. Nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee. We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea we have to hook up. We got no troubles. Life is the bubbles under the sea.
Under the sea. under the sea.
Under the sea.
Since life is sweet here, we got to be here naturally.
Naturally.
Even the sturgeon and the ray, dig in the earth and start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it under the sea. Play the flute, the top, play the hop, the place, play the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass, play the brass, the chum, play the tub. The flute is the duke of soul. The way he can play the names on the strings, the chum, rocking on the blackfish, he sings his belt and his front. They know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow.
Six little ducks that I once knew, fat ones, skinny ones, fair ones too. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with his quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with his quack, quack, quack. Down to the river they would go, wibble wobble, wibble wobble, to and fro. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with his quack, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack.
He led the others with his quack, quack, quack. Home from the river they would come, wibble wobble, wibble wobble, ho hum hum. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with his quack, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack.
He led the others with his quack, quack, quack. Six little ducks that I once knew, fat ones, skinny ones, fair ones too. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with his quack, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, quack.
Quack, quack, quack. He led the others with his quack, quack, quack.
Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say,
did you ever see a goose kissing a moose? Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a whale with a polka dot tail?
Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say,
did you ever see a fly wearing a tie?
Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say,
did you ever see a bear combing his hair?
Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say,
Did you ever see llamas eating their pajamas? Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow. Back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say. Did you ever have a time when you couldn't make a rhyme? Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow. Back to my home, I dare not go. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow, we can stay all day. Going to the zoo, 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 how about you, you, you? You can come too, 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 we're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Yes, Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below, and a little white whale on the go. Baby beluga, baby beluga, is the water warm? Is your mama home with you so happy? Way down yonder where the dolphins play, where you dive and splash all day. Waves rolling and the waves roll out, see the water squirting out of your spout. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, sing your little song, sing for all your friends, we like to hear. Snug in your water bed, moon is shining and the stars are out. Good night, little whale, good night. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, with tomorrow's sun, another day's begun. You'll soon be waking. Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below, and a little white whale on the go. You're just a little white whale on the go.
My ma chère mademoiselle. It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax. Let us pull up a chair as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, cherie, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre. Why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing. They can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest. Beef ragout, cheese souffle, pie and pudding on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can best.
Come on and lift your glass. You've won your own free pass to be our guest.
If you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly those good old days are gone. 10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting. Needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy. You walked in and oops-a-daisy.
It's a guest, sakes alive, and I'll be blessed. Wine's been poured and thank the Lord that the napkin's freshly pressed. With this she'll want tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do their sauce-chewing, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing. I'll get warm, I'll be hot. Heaven's sake, is that a spot? Clean it up. Got a lot to do. Is it one love or two? For you, our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest. She's our guest. She's our guest. She's our guest. I'm the man who's on the list. It's 10 years since we had anybody here. But we're obsessed. With your feel, with your ears. Yes, indeed, we live to please. While the candle lights still glowing, let us help you. We'll keep going for time.
Course, one by one,
till you shout it up like guns.
Then we'll sing you off to sleep as you digest.
Just as sure as the sun.
You've been listening to a special program brought to you by KRBD and the Ketchikan Education Association. Thanks to all the teachers who recorded themselves and sent in those recordings to create this show. We didn't have quite enough for a full hour this week, so we filled in with some selections from Disney and Rafi.